it's clear that the Sudanese government right now is testing the fence, as it were. Obviously, President Bashir is increasingly concerned by what looks very likely like it will be an arrest warrant handed down by the International Criminal Court, probably as soon as this month. And I think that they're hoping to escalate pressure not only on the United States, but the international community to strengthen their hand and make the at least theoretical case that perhaps an arrest warrant should be deferred.
What consequences can the U.S. pose to Sudan if they continue to stage more attacks on South Darfur? And do you expect President Obama to issue a public statement on these attacks?
Well, certainly, I think it's important that the United States decide early on how far it's willing to pursue this. Certainly, its administration, the president himself, has had very tough words on Darfur. Susan Rice, Secretary of State Clinton, all have spoken passionately and eloquently about the need to do something and respond forcefully. And there are a lot of different policy options that can be pursued, but I think it's important that if the administration goes down that road, it's willing to follow that confrontation to a logical conclusion if it's willing to do so.
Now, Khartoum had vowed to stage a full-scale raid on Muhajiria. Do you think that they are going to go ahead and expand that to other towns in that region?
Well, I think there was a bit of gamesmanship on all sides. From our analysts and what we've heard from on the ground, members of JEM, the Justice and Equality Movement rebels, pulled out of town and moved to positions 50 or 60 kilometers away. And I don't know if they were simply deciding what was best for them or if this was at the urging of others. But I think the real question for the international community in the U.S. and the U.N. is making sure that the civilians who stayed in town are protected and beginning to figure out what is a proper response to continued Sudanese aerial attacks on camps and positions in Darfur at a time when, in numerous agreements, the Sudanese have agreed to suspend such attacks. And we are seeing lots of chatter from different locations about potential Sudanese government attacks on different rebel positions, as well as a lot of potential jockeying by Chadian rebels who are based in Darfur for perhaps making what seems to be their annual coup attempt in Chad.
Now, thousands of civilians from Muhajiria have gathered around the UNAMID base where the UN troops, the peacekeeping observers, are stationed. How much do you think that the Sudanese attacks are a threat to the UN base?
Well, I think to their credit, the UN has not bugged out of town, and hopefully the UN has learned some of the hard and frankly embarrassing lessons of Srebrenica in Bosnia and what happened in Kigali and Rwanda during the early days of genocide. But I still think they need to be much tougher. And I still think there's a tendency to rely on clearance from Khartoum for basic movements for the peacekeeping force, for basic provisions of the peacekeeping force. And clearly the UN is not going to succeed in its mandate of protecting civilians if it has to rely on a permission slip from the government in Khartoum for all of its actions.
There seems to be a contradiction here. If the rebels have fully withdrawn from Muhajiria, why are the Sudanese continuing to stage an attack on the town? And do you think this would increase the likelihood of prosecution charges against President Bashir?
Well, I think the likelihood of prosecution charges against President Bashir are already very, very high. So I think he is only adding to an already lengthy blotter at this point. Obviously, the reports on the ground are somewhat conflicting, whether the attacks are still continuing, if the rebels have left or not, where exactly bombing is being targeted. I know the Sudanese have also pushed to try to keep the UN presence, so the 193 troops that are there now, restricted to a very small 1 kilometer area, because I think as much as the Sudanese government is willing to inflict pain and torment on Darfuri civilians, they probably are somewhat nervous if their attacks land directly on UN troops, that it would be seen as a huge provocation and a direct escalation of the conflict to a degree which I think even Khartoum is uncomfortable right now.
At the just-concluded African Union summit in Addis Ababa, Libya's leader, Colonel Muammar Gaddafi, took control of the AU. Now, he told reporters yesterday that he would now take responsibility for solving the long-running conflict in Darfur. What impact do you think his chairmanship and involvement will have on Khartoum stepping up attacks in Darfur?
Well, I mean, I think his selection as chairman is something of an embarrassment for the AU. And I think his comments at the summit in terms of speaking out against democracy in Africa, making a rather loopy case for the United States of Africa, which would coalesce under what appears to be Libyan leadership. His long history of adventurism and interventionism in the region, everything from training Charles Taylor when he was a young rebel to arming Chadian rebels and encouraging Libyan Arabs to resettle in Darfur. You know, he's not a credible player on the scene, but certainly given his influence and his oil money, he can make it more difficult for serious negotiators to get serious work done.
Have we heard anything about the fate of Mini Minawi's ousted rebel group that had been in Muhajiria through all of this now that they are no longer in the town? Do we know what happened to them?
Well, it sounds like they are increasingly estranged from the government in Khartoum, and they'd been one of the few Darfuri rebel groups to be willing to kind of step on the government side at this point. We've heard complaints that they have been attacked or been targeted by some of the bombing as well. I think they're in a very difficult position as a group where they're not particularly loved and trusted either by fellow rebel groups or by the government in Khartoum, and not particularly operating from a position of strength right now.
And Jem's pullout of Muhajiria anticipates that perhaps it could be turned into a demilitarized zone manned by UNAMID. How likely is this goal given the fact that the Sudanese have taken over control of the town?
I think it's fairly unlikely. Any serious planners at the United Nations and elsewhere, you know, a demilitarized zone sounds like a nice idea, but in my mind it does sound a bit like safe havens that have been tried and not worked very well in some other conflicts around the globe with a very painful cost to the UN in trying to manage those. You know, and I think it's clear that if UNAMID is actually going to succeed on the ground, it needs the resources to do its job. It needs a much clearer and stronger lead nation running the operation, and it needs absolute freedom of movement to do its work. And it needs to be able to respond with force and with a robust use of force to provocations on the ground. Because right now I feel like they're being treated a bit like a substitute teacher, that nobody really particularly fears their discipline.